Good morning. I'm glad to welcome you to our worship service this morning, and we're glad to welcome visitors and guests that we have with us. We're glad you're here and hope that you'll come again. Let me remind you that our midweek Advent services start this week, Wednesday at 7 o'clock. The meal is at 6 o'clock. We invite you to come and join us as we worship, hold an evening prayer, and observe our Advent. Also, remember that the Giving Tree gifts are due next Sunday, and I understand there are just a few tags out there, but yes. Well, I don't know. I'm shouting as loud as I can. It's home. I don't know, but the Giving Tree gifts are due next Sunday, and there are a few tags still out there. Shannon, you wanted to talk about Family Promise.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Wanted to read a little something. We had a family that had stayed with us last time, and they sent in a thank you letter. And what I really want to read is what the 12-year-old girl wrote. Thank you for caring for me and my mom. Y'all treated us like a family, and I enjoy being a part of the Family Promise program. I learned about you.
Again, there are lots of opportunities for helping with our Family Promise, which they arrive next Sunday, right?
Next Sunday.
Yeah, so please sign up and help. Jim, you want to talk?
Just briefly, we'll be starting a new curating day. It's very, very easy. We don't need to go over it. Just be aware of it and enjoy it. It's our new Advent curating.
And here's Sarah. Sarah, I was just going to say, there are many congregational members you should learn good stuff from. Paul, however. All right, today we have a group of youth and adults who are going down to Williamsburg County to throw a Christmas party for our folks down there that need our love and care. And we would like to commission them at this time. So if they would come forward and gather on the steps behind me. Yes, I'll do that. Thank you.
Look excited. Christmas is here.
Thank you.
I'll also tell you that this year our youth group is doing some things with the Christus Victor youth group, and the Christus Victor youth group is doing some things with our youth group. And so some of those that are gathered behind me are from Christus Victor as well. Dear Christian friends, baptized into the priesthood of Christ, we are all called by the Holy Spirit to offer ourselves to the God of all creation in thanksgiving for what he has done and for what he continues to do for us. It is our privilege to affirm those who are endeavoring to carry out their vocation as Christians in the world. Through holy baptism, our Heavenly Father set us free from sin and made us members of the priesthood we all share in Christ Jesus. Through word and sacrament, we have been nurtured in faith that we may proclaim the praise of God and bear his creative and redeeming word to all the world. On this trip, you are called to offer yourselves in service to others in need, to care for them, to show them the love of Christ, to touch their lives with the joy of Christmas, and to live as God's light in our world. Now, therefore, will you endeavor to pattern your life and service after our Lord Jesus? If so, answer, I will, and I ask God to help and guide me.
I will, and I ask God to help and guide me.
Let us pray. Almighty God, look with favor on these your people in their commitment to serve in Christ's name. Empower them to be ministers of your reconciliation, love, hope, and justice. Strengthen us all in our Christian vocation of witness to the world and of service to others through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. comes to wake us from sleep, who leads us into the light of grace. Let us prepare the way of the Lord by confessing our sin against God and people. God of all time, we confess that we have not prepared for your merciful reign among us. We ignore our neighbors in need and fail in the labor of justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your light and to seek the things that will endure until Christ comes again. Amen. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. In Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven and all things are made new. Rejoice in this good news. Amen.
Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, awaken us to the threatening dangers of our sins, and keep us blameless until the coming of your new day, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Right up here on top. Kind of hard to play with that, isn't it? is you can't mold it. Could I make a person out of this? No, it's pretty much like a rock. That's what we got right there. And underneath this board, guess what? It's the same thing. It's already all dried up. That's not very good, is it? Well, I might want to make a person out of this, but I couldn't make a person out of this. In our Old Testament lesson you're going to hear in just a few minutes, Isaiah is talking for God, and God says, I am the potter and you are the clay. That means God says, I'm the one making it look like it's supposed to look and making you like you're supposed to be, and you are the stuff I'm making. I'm making the best Jackson I can have. I'm making the best Lily I can have. That's what God does. That's pretty cool, isn't it? The problem is, sometimes the kind of clay we are is this, don't you think? Can't we sometimes be hard-headed and go our own way and not God's way? Yeah, that's exactly right. And so what Isaiah is reminding us of,
have our prayer.
Dear Jesus, thank you for making us to be the best us that we can be. Thank you for filling us with your love and with your spirit.
And help us always
to live as you would have us live. Amen.
All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
A reading from Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
A reading from 1 Corinthians. Paul writes, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. In the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. It was the only Christmas parade float that I ever liked. One of the churches I served in the past had the tradition of entering floats in the local small town community Christmas parade. And oh, how I dreaded that. It always made me uncomfortable. I don't know anything at all about creating a float for a parade. There's not a class in seminary called Float Building 101. But there I was every year, struggling to help people throw something together at the last minute that didn't look like something we threw together at the last minute, and was a good witness to our community. A good witness to our community. That was probably the part that gave me the most discomfort. You see, these parades always seem to happen the weekend right after Thanksgiving. And as a church, we were supposed to have something religious up there on our float. Most people expected some sort of nativity scene portrayed somehow. But what they did teach us in seminary
was the importance of Advent. Advent is that time of wonder and anticipation that makes Christmas so much more meaningful and wonderful. We focus on our need for Jesus to come. And after 4 weeks of waiting and yearning and looking forward, when Christmas does come, we're about to burst with excitement and joy. The anticipation makes the celebration even bigger. It's important. And so I struggled with putting out a float proclaiming the birth when we haven't even begun to talk about the pregnancy yet. In those first moments of Advent every year, I hesitated to rush ahead. Except for 1 year. I don't know where I borrowed this idea from, but it was easy to convince my float builders. Throwing it together at the last minute only made it better. We quickly painted a couple of signs and sent the float off. It didn't have a skirt or any crepe paper. There were no shepherds or angels or mangers. All it was two guys on a trailer with hammers, nails, boards, saws, and a couple of sawhorses. And the first sign said, "We thought the parade was next week." And then, as the float passed, the other sign came into view. It said, "Are you ready for Christ to come at Christmas?" And it was perfect. An Advent float. Well, if you look around, it's not hard to see that our world isn't ready to receive Christ. In so many ways, our world seems under construction at best. Indeed, we might look around and say we're under destruction sometimes. Things seem to go from bad to worse. We live in a world with hunger and fear and terrorism and oppression and war. There's so much wrong that needs fixing. No. No, our world isn't ready to receive Christ at all, which is why we need him to come so desperately. And that's exactly how Isaiah felt in our Old Testament reading today. You can hear it in his words. "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down," he cries out to God. When this was written, the people had just come back to the promised land after many years in exile. They looked forward to returning, to reestablishing themselves in the glory of their people. But when they returned, what they found was the rubble and ruin still left from the war years before. Glory seemed a long way off. And that's when Isaiah cries out to God to come down to his people. He cries out to God to come down to a broken world and make it right, to come to a broken people and restore them in his love. "When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence," Isaiah prayed. "From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him." Isaiah speaks of how awesome God is, how God has worked in the past to save his people from trouble and harm. And then he admits how they have sinned and turned away from God and how their exile had been their punishment. "You have delivered us into the hands of our iniquity," he says. And yet even so, Isaiah trusts in God. "Yet, O Lord," he says, "you are our Father. We are the clay. You are our potter. We are all the work of your hands. We are all your people." Isaiah begs God to notice his people in love, to notice their distress, and to act for them in his grace. In our under-construction world, we aren't ready to receive Jesus, but oh, how we need him to come. In our distress, we can call on God in trust, just as Isaiah did. For in Jesus, the wrong is made right. He comes in power. He comes in love. He comes to save. Get ready. Be watchful. God's parade of grace is passing by. Amen.
Gathered together as God's people, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. God of ultimate wisdom and compassion, we pray that your Holy Spirit keep us vigilant as we await the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ this Advent season. Keep us steadfast in your love. Prepare our hearts and minds daily, for we do not know the hour of your return. Lord, in your mercy. Loving and forgiving God, we ask you to break our hearts of stone and remind us that you have lived and died for all of your children. Guide us with your wisdom into a new relationship with one another. We can only live together in peace and serve your kingdom, guided by the Holy Spirit. Enable us with your love to be a new people. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious and loving God, we lift up to you a prayer of healing for all the world. Hear our prayers for the families of the victims of the recent attacks in New York, Las Vegas, and Egypt. Help us to not forget them in their suffering, and lead our hearts to continue to pray for them as we head into Advent. Loving God, we ask you to move into their midst and fill their hearts and minds with your unconditional love. You are a God that meets us where we are. We pray to you this hour to meet the families of these tragedies where they are, and pray that they give their burden over to you, because only you can bear such sorrow. Bless all of your people, and especially those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray also that you will guide local, state, and federal leadership forward into peace. We pray that our leaders will be led by the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood, so that all the citizens of our nations can live in peace. Give them the wisdom to lead us into the light and away from the darkness. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. Let us share the peace with our neighbors. us pray. Savior of the nations, come. Make your home here in us. Feed us with your love, that our faith shine ever new, and our lives reveal your light. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The beginning and the end, the giver of life. Praise to you for the birth of creation. Praise to you in the darkness and in the light. Praise to you for your promise to your people. Praise to you in the prophets' hopes and dreams. Praise to you for Mary's openness to your will. Praise to you for your Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember your word dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. We remember our new birth in his death and resurrection. We look with hope for his coming. Come, Lord Jesus. Holy God, we long for your spirit. Come among us. Bless this meal. May your word take flesh in us. Awaken your people. Fill us with your light. Bring the gift of peace on earth. All praise and glory are yours, Holy One of Israel, Word of God incarnate, power of the Most High, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God, for whom we wait, you come to us in the broken bread and the cup we share. Make us ready always to welcome Christ into our hearts and send us forth to be your people in the world, announcing your coming among us in Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know. You can still kind of see a little.
But it hasn't had time to sit. Just give it a chance to sit. But you know what? Just hook it up. Just like that. Cross our fingers.